Falling in love with the Bible. That's the title of my message today. And we'll just continue on here. Psalm 119, it's kind of special. We miss out on it a little bit in our English versions. Most of us don't speak Hebrew, but there are 22 stanzas for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's an acrostic. There are 8 verses in each stanza. And each verse starts with the letter of that stanza. So, for example, if the stanza was for the letter A, every verse in it would start with the letter A. And the law is mentioned in 173 of the 176 verses. So the law or the word of God are a synonym of the law, the word of God. And deity is mentioned in every verse. God, either through a pronoun or some reference to God, is in every verse. And there are 8 different words for scripture that are used throughout this psalm. It's quite a special psalm. There's the law, or the Torah, or instruction, the testimonies, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, the word, the promise. So it's someone has compared this psalm, said it's more like an embroidery and a very intricate piece of poetry that we miss when we're reading it in English. But we can capture some of the psalmist's love for the Bible and how it was such a blessing to him. As a matter of fact, it's an elaboration of Psalm 1, where the psalmist delights in the word of God. And here he elaborates on it and goes through it. So I hope we'll capture some of that today. Now, there are a couple of obstacles I want to speak to before we get and start reading this psalm. And one of them is this, and that is to enjoy the Bible and to love the Bible, we need to be born again. Now, if we're not going to turn to John chapter 3, but there's a beautiful story in the Gospels for those of you who don't know what it means to be born again. And what it is it's the Spirit of God who comes into our life from above. We're born from above. It's a supernatural thing that God does to us when we come to Christ in faith. When we look to God and we ask Him to save us from our sins, and we're sincere, and we turn to God, God gives us His Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we can't live the Christian life, and we won't really enjoy the Bible either. But through His Spirit in our life, and we read in 1 Corinthians, a little typo there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, we read that it's the Spirit of God that helps us to understand the word of God. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit, for their foolishness to him. But the Spirit of God helps us to understand. So to love the Bible, we need to be born again. If you're not born again and you're here today, speak to the person who invited you and get him to explain that to you. There's also a very, very excellent message on what it means to be born again by Randy Hoffman on our website. He spoke to it at the Easter conference. The other obstacle I want to think to a little bit today is that some Christians, every now and again, when they hear the word law, they get kind of an allergic reaction to it. And they say, well, we're not under the law. We're under grace, as if we don't have anything to do with the law. Well, the law is not a bad word. And it's true. We're not justified by the works of the law. And we're not under law. We're under grace. But we're not lawless either. We read in 2 Thessalonians that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and he who now restrains him until he's taken away. So the Antichrist is referred to as the man of the lawless one. So we're not without law. And we read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So we're not without law. But we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. So as Christians who are born again by the Spirit of God, we have the law in our hearts. The law is in our hearts. We love the law. We love the word of God. It's our food. And we love to listen to it. We love to obey it. By the grace of God. It's not a legalistic relationship. On the contrary, it's our food. And so it is that even this psalmist in his day, he loved the word of God. Now, here's what we're going to look at today. I put it on our screen, the seven keys to blessing. You know, there are, as I read through Psalm 119 and meditated on it, and I have my Bible in front of me, you know, in every stanza, there's more than one golden nugget. And I'm just choosing seven of them today that touched my heart as I went through it recently. And I want us to think about these things today. The first thing is that we need to seek him. And the second one is we need to seek him with our whole heart by the grace of God. And then we'll read that the word of God is God's method to cleanse our heart, and we need cleansing. And then we read also that the Spirit of God will help us to see wondrous things in the word of God, wondrous things. And then we read that the psalmist clings to the word of God. He clings to the testimonies, it says. And we're to cling to it too. And then the psalmist says, he asks the Lord to make him teachable. And so too, we need to be teachable. And then he goes on to say, he says something very interesting here. He thanks God for affliction because he says, affliction drew me to the word of God. And then he thinks about it, and we'll read about this when we get there. He says that God was faithful in afflicting me because it made me go to the Bible. And I think that the pandemic is, in fact, an invitation to us as believers to renew our relationship with God through a deeper attachment to the Bible. Some people say, well, what's the purpose of this pandemic? Well, I suggest to you, and we'll see some scripture for that, it's an invitation to us as believers to renew our relationship with God through a deeper attachment to the Bible, to the Bible. So let's go now to the first of seven little things we're going to look at today. The first one is this, is that we're to seek God. We read in verse 2, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. I want you to think back. I want you to think back into your life. And I want you to think about some time when you were seeking after something. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe you were seeking after a high market school, or maybe you were seeking after a sale. Maybe you're a salesman and you were trying to make a sale and you were going after that sale. Maybe you were going after a contract. Maybe you were trying to accomplish something in sports. And I want you to think about that time when you were seeking after something in your life, and you'll remember that you were focused, you were disciplined, you were hungry, and you sacrificed, and you went after it with one mind. And that's how God wants us to seek after him. This is what he says here. Now, apparently, during this pandemic, a lot of people are developing a lot of hobbies. And in particular, one hobby that folk are getting onto is bird watching. Not only seniors, but even young people, they're getting into bird watching. And some of you may know of the Audubon Society. And John, that's a good French word, by the way, Audubon. But John Audubon, who lived in 1785 to 1851, he's a well-known naturalist and artist and considered no personal sacrifice too great to learn about birds and to record that information. He would go into the swamps night after night to record observations about nighthawks. And one summer, Audubon repeatedly visited the Bayous area near New Orleans to observe a shy water bird. He would stand neck deep in the stagnant waters, scarcely breathing, while poisonous water moccasins swam past his face. It was a great hardship, but he reported with enthusiasm that the birds he was able to paint as a result made it all worthwhile. So here's a man, and we're grateful for his sketches of birds and his what he produced, and his name lives on in the Bird Society. But what dedication! Does God want us to be like that towards him and his word? Well, yes, he does. He asks us to seek him with our whole heart. Now, here's the key. We read in John 5, verses 39 and 40, the Lord Jesus, he said to the Pharisees, he says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." So here's the key. It's not just to search the scriptures, but it's to search God and to come to Christ. You see, we read the Bible and we love the Bible. Why? Because our Savior speaks to us through the Word of God. It's not just an academic exercise, but it's a way of coming to know God. And God wants us to seek him. We read this in the New Testament quite frequently. Matthew 6:33, we read, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So I suggest to you that the very first thing we ought to do in our day is to read, search out the scriptures, seek out Christ in the Bible. Do it first. Do it first, otherwise we won't get it done. And then we read in Matthew 7, verse 7, we read, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you." What a promise. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "Seek and you'll find." And he wants us to seek after him. He wants to be found by us. But he asks us to seek him. And then we read in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If then you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." So we're to seek those things which are above. And in 1 Timothy, we read this, chapter 6, verse 11, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." And then again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So this just isn't an Old Testament recommendation. It's throughout the New Testament. And I have to ask myself this question. Am I seeking after God? What does that mean to me? I suggest to you that it's about seeking. It's about reading the Bible on a daily basis and seeking after Christ in the Word of God. That's how we can seek God. Now, I've told this story before, and it strikes my sense of humor, which might be a little twisted, but one day there was a man out late at night in a city downtown. And he was at the side of the street and by the curb, and he was looking away, looking for something. And a policeman came by and he said to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I lost my watch." And he said, I'm looking for it." And the policeman said to him, "Well, where did you lose it?" And the man said, "Well, I lost it over there." And so the policeman said, "Well, why are you looking here?" And he said, "Well, I'm looking here because the light is better." Now, that's a silly story. But, you know, sometimes we're silly like that ourselves. We just do what's easy for us, right? We're not that serious about finding what we say we're seeking. And God would have us to seek with him. And that's our next point that we read in this verse. In verse 2, he says, "Who seek him with a whole heart." And we have this throughout this Psalm 119, verse 34, verse 10, "With my whole heart I've sought you." Verse 34, "I shall observe it with my whole heart." Verse 58, "I entreated your favor with my whole heart. I will keep your precepts with my whole heart." Verse 145, "I cry out with my whole heart." And the Lord Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." You see, the Lord wants us to be serious about this sort of thing and not half-hearted. We remember how he felt about the church at Laodicea, right? In Revelation chapter 3, he didn't like this half-heartedness at all. He wants us to be all in, totally committed, and that by the grace of God. You know, sometimes I get the impression that sometimes people feel that if it's the Holy Spirit working in our life, then we don't give any effort at all. There'll be no effort on our part. It'll just sort of fall in our lap. You remember the story of the Corsican who was sitting underneath a tree, a fig tree, and he said, oh, if this fig could fall into my mouth. And his friend said, well, yes, but if it falls into your mouth, are you going to eat it? I mean, the Holy Spirit doesn't produce laziness, right? The Holy Spirit gives us a will and gives us energy and gives us discipline. Oh, discipline. Don't say discipline. That can't be of God. That must be of the flesh. No. Let's be serious here. The Holy Spirit doesn't produce laziness. The Holy Spirit produces energy. The Holy Spirit produces willpower. The Holy Spirit produces discipline. The Holy Spirit produces determination. The Holy Spirit doesn't produce a slack, lazy attitude. Come on, let's be serious. And sometimes I think every now and again, we use the notion of grace in a very irreverent way. We use it as an excuse to not do anything because we kind of say, well, if there's any effort involved, it must be the flesh. It's not God. That's not true at all. You'll see all through Scripture that God works in an orderly way. God produces willpower. God produces energy. The Holy Spirit wants us to serve Him with a whole heart. So let's move on to point number 3. Just moving on in our text here, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. And so on. So we see that the psalmist learned that God uses his word to cleanse our ways. And we see this truth in the New Testament in John chapter 17, verse 17. The Lord himself said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we read this beautiful verse. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, it gets right down to the corners of our heart and of our soul. You know, every time I go to the dentist, the hygienist says, do you floss your teeth? And I say, you know, yeah. Last time I went, I said, yeah, I flossed a million times a day. I get the impression that, you know, they don't think I'm flossing my teeth because I'm not doing a very good job. I'm not really getting to the root of the problem. But the Word of God, you see, we have to let the Word of God penetrate our heart. It's a living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So, you know, we can't do this. I suggest to you that listening, you know, we can't do this when we're driving our car. I don't think so. We can't do this unless we're really dedicated to it. And if that's the only time you had, well, God knows your heart, and maybe you can. But this is serious business, letting the Word of God cleanse our heart. And you say, well, why bother? What's the point of it all? Well, look what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. He says this, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel for honor. You know what that says to me? It says to me that God can't use me if I'm not cleaned up. I have to have a clean heart. And if I'm not reading the Word of God, if I'm not really letting the Word of God penetrate into my life and into my heart and letting the Lord speak to me and get the dirt out, it's going to be an embarrassing time, just like every time I go to the hygienist and she says, are you really flossing your teeth? No, not really, not seriously. So we have to, this is why we need to read the Word of God. It's not just an academic exercise. It's so that God can clean us up, so that he can use us. Now, we might be going about in the Lord's work. We might be busy. But if our hearts aren't clean and if we're not really cleaned up before God, guess what? He can't use us. This is what he says in 2 Timothy. And furthermore, we have a promise here. We have a promise here that maybe we're struggling with a sin. Maybe we're struggling with some sort of evil thought that keeps on, you know, ruining us. Well, the Word of God was a promise here. We can cleanse our ways through the Word of God. He says, I've hidden your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and combats those bad thoughts, those evil thoughts. It's God's mind. So do we need to read the Bible every day? Do we need to love the Bible? Yes. Why? If we want to be clean before God, if we want to be used before God, we got to let God's word work in our heart, just like I got to floss my teeth every day, three times a day. Okay, let's go on to verse 18. Verse 18, he says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Wondrous things from your law. What a statement, isn't that? Now, we saw that today in Luke chapter 24 at the Lord's Supper. The Lord opened up their understanding, and they saw and they understood. You know something? This is a tremendous promise, and we see it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. We read this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And this is why the psalmist in this Psalm 119, verse 24, he says, your testimonies are my delight. In verse 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. In verse 127, he says, therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, more than much fine gold. And then he says in verse 129, he says, your testimonies are wonderful. Now, I know that many of you here today, you know that experience. But perhaps some of you here today, you think I'm just getting lost in my thoughts here and just promoting illusions or something. But no, this is our experience when we read the Word of God seriously, when we approach God. When we seek God, guess what? He shows us wondrous things, and we become addicted to the Word of God. This is why we go to meetings. Why? Because when we gather, whether it be by Zoom or whether it be in person, guess what? The Lord is in our midst, and I think the Spirit of God works even greater. We open up the Word of God, and the Lord opens up the Scripture to us. So, you know, this does away with all this legalistic thinking around Bible study or attending meetings. We're not reading our Bible or attending meetings just to say we're better than somebody or to gain points or to get a star. No, we're there out of sheer pleasure and enjoyment, because the Spirit of God is opening up wondrous things to us. It can't get any better. It doesn't get any better than that. There is no experience greater this side of glory than having the Spirit of God show us things from the Word of God, whether it be in our personal study every day or whether it be at our meetings. That's why we often say at the chapel, right? The best passage in the Bible is the one you're studying because the Word of God is opening it up to us. Okay, let's move on to our fifth point. Our fifth point. Clings. Going down to verse 25. Here's the psalmist here. He says this. He says, my soul clings to the dust. Woo. It's in a bad way. He says, revive me according to your word. And then he goes down, verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. And then he goes down to 31. verse 31, he says, I cling to your testimonies. There's a little progression there. Isn't that great? I love this. And I want to ask you a question today. Are you clinging to the dust? Maybe there's somebody listening to me today. Are you lonely? Are you dying of loneliness? Does your soul ache? Are you waiting for Godot? Are you waiting for something and you don't know what's up? Yeah. Listen, I invite you to come to Christ and come to the Word of God. The Word of God will revive you. And then guess what? From there on, we cling to the Word of God. When God speaks to us through His holy and precious Word, we love the Bible, right? We love the Bible. In John 15, verse 5, we read this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, if you abide in me, no, sorry. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Well, without me, you can do nothing. And then in verse 7, I don't have it up on the screen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So abiding in Christ, it's abiding in the Word. It's abiding in the Word. We're talking about reading our Bible every day and loving the Word of God. And we'll move on. Sixth point. So the first point was to seek Him. The second point was to seek Him with all our heart. The third point was to let the Word of God cleanse us, right? And the fourth point was that we see wondrous things in the Word of God. And the fifth point is that we cling to the Word of God. Now, the sixth point. The sixth point is that we need to be teachable. Teachable. And we're going to read this in verse 12. We read this. He says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. If we go over to verse 33, there's a whole section there about him. We read it again. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. And we get this throughout Psalm 119. The psalmist wants to be teachable. And of course, we see this in the New Testament as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he says, and the things you've heard from among me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. In Hebrews 5:12, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need to teach you again the first principles of the Word of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food, and so on. And so the Lord wants us to be teachable and to grow in our study of the Word of God. Now, many of you here today, myself included, we've been Christians for a long time. Now, it's quite possible, you know, in any relationship, we're either going up or we're going down. We're either improving or we're going the opposite direction. And maybe there's some of you here today, maybe you need to think about making some serious changes in your Bible study methods. Maybe you need to up your game, as we say. Maybe God wants you to embrace and grow in your Bible study. And you say, well, Brian, I can't do that. I don't have the time. I don't know. You know, I'm not called to be a teacher. I'm not called to be an elder. But you know what? It's for everybody. That promise in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man. Or we could say woman. It's not blessed is the Levite. Or blessed is the leader. No, he says, blessed is the man. And there's a promise in the Word of God that if we meditate on the Word of God day and night, guess what? We're going to prosper in all our ways. We're going to have success. And I suggest to you that you can't afford not to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. That's right. Because life is complicated, right? Life is complicated. Things can go wrong. We're not in control. We've seen this during the pandemic. And in Psalm 127, verse 1, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, those that labor, labor in vain. So brothers and sisters, we need to spend time in the Word of God. It's not time lost. It's never time lost. And you say, I don't have time. Well, you know what? We all have a lot of time. We have a lot of time. And this is, God wants to bless us through an in-depth study of the Word of God. and he wants to bless our soul. But we have to be open to that. We have to be open to that. And maybe the Lord wants us to just rethink our Bible study today and ask him to help us to be teachable. And when we do this, God is going to bless our life, no doubt about it. Affliction. Okay, let's move on to our seventh point. Time is going by quickly. Our seventh point. Turn with me, please, to verse 50. Verse 50 in Psalm 119. There are a lot of blessings in this psalm, and I've only chosen seven of them. He says in verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Okay? The word of God is there to comfort our soul. Do you have an aching soul? Read the Bible. The Spirit of God will take it and give you comfort. The Spirit of God will give you, through the Word of God, the answer to your question. And not only that, he'll give you ointment for your hurt. That's right. Let's look at verse 67. Verse 67, he says this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." And then he goes down to verse 71. It's interesting. He says, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted." Oh my goodness, what is he saying? "That I may learn your statutes." So what happened here is that because he was afflicted, he went to the Bible, and the Bible blessed his soul. And so then he says, "Well, it's good that I was afflicted because it made me go to the Bible." And then he goes on and he thinks about it a little more, and he goes in verse 75, we read this, "I know, O Lord, your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." So he says, "God, you were faithful to me because you afflicted me, and because of that, I went to your word, and because of that, I'm now blessed." And you know, we see that in the New Testament. In John 15, verse 2, it says, "Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit." So these are all good New Testament truths for us, right? So when hardship comes our way, what should we do? Do any of you listening to me have any hardship in your life? Any pain? Any person out there who really annoys you, causes you problems? Maybe you've got a sore toe. Maybe you've got a toothache. Whatever it is, God says this. This is a prompting to turn to God. And what does it mean to turn to God? To turn to the Bible and to read it. There's a comfort to be found in the Word of God. The psalmist says it was a good thing that he was afflicted because it brought him back to the Word of God. So every time someone or something afflicts you, go to the Word of God. We'll get an answer from God for our hurting soul. You know, I think that's the message of the pandemic. I think God's allowed this pandemic so that Christians, all of us, take stock of our life and you know, reschedule our daily routine so that we spend time in the Word and we relearn and renew our relationship with God through a greater attachment to the Bible. So here's what we looked at a bit today. Only seven things. There's at least 22. There's at least one main point in every one of these stanzas in Psalm 119. We've only looked at seven of them. We're to seek him with our whole heart. And that's a New Testament truth. With our whole heart. That's what God wants. God never wants a half-hearted service, half-hearted worship. No, he doesn't like it at all. And the Word of God is God's tool for cleansing us. Brothers and sisters, if we're not cleansing, going to the Word of God every day, we're just like my all the bacteria growing between my teeth because I don't floss. And he wants us to go to see wondrous things in the Word of God. What a joy. It's not a punishment, brothers and sisters, to get into the Word of God. No, it's a delight. It's a treat. It's not a punishment to come out to meetings either. No, we come because of its sheer pleasure, sheer enjoyment. And the Lord asks us, am I teachable? Am I willing maybe to change some of my routine so I can get into Bible study a little more by God's grace? Does affliction ever happen to us? Are we ever hurting? Yes, we are. Every one of us. That's the nature of life. But God allows it. Why? So that we'll go to his word and so that we'll learn how to be blessed. So in conclusion, here's Charles Spurgeon. He always has something pretty good to say. He says this. He's the great British preacher of the 19th century. I hold one single sentence out of God's word to be of more certainty and of more power than all the discoveries of all the learned men of all the ages. And that holds true for today. Brothers and sisters, and I say this to myself, are you in love with your Bible? Does your Bible play a big part in your daily routine? I trust that it will. It's God's will for us. It's God's way of blessing us and God's way of helping us to stand firm. The Lord Jesus told this story, and most of you know it. The wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the storm came, the man who had his house built on the rock, his house stood firm. May God bless his word to our heart. Thank you for listening. Amen. Thank you.